Yippee!
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 What's the title of this thing? No title again?
I'm got the Lord, baby, and they do my best.
Rolling Bob.
Check, check. Okay, I've put the mic on low sensitivity, so you won't have to put up with the wind, but unfortunately it cuts out all the screaming of the seagulls, too, which I think adds a little atmosphere to the place. So now that you don't hear seagulls, let me tell you, I'm in Bluffers Park, and in fact, I'm on the cat side, and sitting at perhaps my favorite bench, or one of the two anyway, the other I'm looking directly across at the willow tree. It's really muddy here at the feet, but I gathered up a pile of leaves and put them down so my feet could sit comfortably and not get too mucky when I'm walking around in other stores and places. It's Saturday, whatever that would be, March 20, let's see, the 23rd, 26th, would it be? 23rd, 24th, 25th, 27th? I don't know. You can figure it out. 28th, maybe, who knows. 2015, the end of March, coming on April. And this, maybe not much to your surprise, but to my surprise, is Dixon Jane's podcast number 499E. Yes, I said E. This is the one I toyed with, joked about, but did not think I'd be recording. That one of the reasons is that I finished episode 500. I recorded it a few days ago, and it just hasn't been the right time to let it go. I wanted people to get through the ABCD of 499 first before they got to 500. And now I'm just sneaking in an extra under the wire, and I'll explain why, and you'll understand. And in fact, there's been a few of my dear faithful listeners who said, go ahead, do another one. So I'm not going to change episode 500. It will be the final brick in the wall, but this is just one more of those things. Building up to it, I guess. A couple of days that I probably should be concerned about. It seems I've alarmed Barnacle Bill, my good friend Deb out on the West Coast, and for sure my wife, greatly alarmed, and even my son. And I'll tell you why, but I'll tell the whole story. Well, they're alarmed because I was walking funny. I don't know that I was slurring, but you know if you've seen that ad on TV, there's a very powerful television ad where, Dad, Dad, Mom, something's wrong with Dad. And there's nothing, I'm okay. And of course his speech is very slurred and you know, hey, Dad ain't right. Get help fast. And she says, call 911. And Dad's face is drooping on one side and he's just acting real funny, and they know right away, wow, that's a stroke. Well, I had mild symptoms. I was having a little bit of difficulty walking, and I was just sort of seeming more to as if I was drunk, which I wasn't. I was stumbling just a little bit, and the family seemed to think there was more than that, maybe in my speaking, but something was definitely wrong. And I should deal with this thing. So let's wind it back just a little bit. You know, about a week ago yesterday, I joined the Variety Village to get some exercise. I've gone in a total of twice, and basically all I've done is walk around the track a few times and tried out one of those pedaling machines, which felt good, and yeah, that was fun. I thought, okay, it's a good start, and eventually I'll start a routine and work on a plan, get some advice, and that'll be a good thing. And it's a convenient location, so I have no excuse not to do this. In fact, I should be heading over there now. So we did a little of that, and then I had to go to physio. I mentioned, of course, the falling on the wrist, and when I went to physio, it wasn't a simple thing of somebody looks and, oh yeah, here, do this, three, you know, pull your thumb three times and you're fine. It was much more than that, a whole life history, and does it hurt here, does it hurt here, and they keep poking until it hurts. When you first walk in, another person greets you and says, okay, do this. Bend down, touch your toes, lift yourself up, you know, like a push-up style. And as you go through a few physical motions. And the last one was stand on one foot. And I couldn't. Like, it used to be a simple thing. Yeah, sure, knees up, boom, there I am. I could not stand on one foot. Well, try the other one. And I would have just keeled over. I could not do it. There was no balance at all. Wow. I don't remember it being like that. That's odd. Can't stand on one foot. This is crazy. Okay. And so I saw the person. She was very good, and I was impressed with the facilities very close to where I live. Okay, I'm going to go through this. Well, it's not that simple. We draw up a plan, and we put forward this plan to your insurance company, and we see how it all works out, how much you're going to pay, how much they're going to pay, what's covered, what's not covered. And I think, well, okay, if there's, it's, you know, I've been putting off, and there's a chiropractor there. So I said, look, he's available at 11. Why don't you stick around and meet with him? Oh, okay, great. Not just the thumb. Let's go the whole works. And he observed, as everybody else who is aware of these things, wow, your back is really bent. You're overcompensating for that pain in your right leg, and now it's kind of you're walking in a very strange manner. Now, this is not, this is just walking in a strange manner because I've got back issues, and I'm sort of compensating for the pain by leaning the other way, and it's sort of twisted my back, and this has gone on for years, and to my discredit, I've never really done anything about it. And now I realize, hey, it's time to see a professional. Straighten out your goddamn back, fellow. This is ridiculous. You can't go through life like that, hunched over and twisted. It's one thing for Richard III, but you're still a man with a future ahead of you. You know, don't give up just yet. So I said, great. And he said, we'll make out a plan, and we'll do things, and some of it will just be, you know, some exercise, some stretching, and a lot of it is just going to be exercise you'll do here and do. So I mean, this is wonderful. So now I've got a physiotherapist that I'm going to go to on a regular basis for exercises and treatment. I've got a facility where eventually I'm going to get into the AquaFit, and I can do some walking and try out the other machinery once I know how to use them properly. This is, hey, boys and girls, finally, the dude is heading off in the right direction. Well, I had to go to the dentist. That was the next thing. Okay, so number three. All right, dentist. Yeah, well, this is, I'm dreading. It's a root canal. Sounds worse to me. But in my mind, anything to do with a dentist is painful. But it's something else. It's something else much, much deeper. Something I really can't fathom. I don't know where it came from. I think it would take a hypnotist. Freudian psychologist, I don't know. But there's an anxiety that comes. Well, first of all, I can't breathe. I breathe through my mouth. As soon as you start jamming things into my mouth, and my mouth is open, a panic overtakes. I can't. I breathe. And it's horrible. It's a terrible, terrible feeling. So the doctor knew that. Don't worry, I have to put a dam in your mouth to prevent all these poisonous chemicals from leaking down your throat, but I'll make lots of holes in it. There'll be a big hole. You won't have a problem breathing. Well, just prior to going in, I read a very long article by the man who wrote A House for Mr. Biswas. I believe it was Naipaul, the Indian writer, wonderful writer. And the article was about ISIS and his true feelings about what ISIS stood for, and he likened them to the Nazis and said they are as dangerous as evil. And then he went on to read through a list of their crimes, you know, and you know the ones I'm talking about. I won't repeat here and upset you, but it deeply disturbed me. Well, that's not a good thing to read at any time. But when I go into the dentist, I go into a dark place. As soon as I am at the mercy, as soon as somebody has a drill, a sharp spike, a tool, anything that can cause pain, my mind goes into victim mode. What if I was in a Nazi concentration camp and they just want to yank my teeth out for the gold? What if I was in a South American prison camp and I'm labeled a communist and they have to teach us all lessons by inflicting the most merciless cruelties upon us in front of our wives and children or to our wives and children until we confess and then they shoot us? And it's a dark, 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 dark place, let me tell you. There's no exaggeration. I feel really, really awful. And it's not, I'm not afraid directly of my dentist. It just raises the possibility of this scenario could be so different. Me sitting here in the comfort with a dentist who I like, and he's a terrific guy, could so easily be something else. It's like sometimes, very often, actually, I'll get into the shower. It's just exactly the right temperature. Oh, it feels good. And can just imagine, what if it wasn't? What if somebody was showering you in ice-cold water or scalding hot water at their mercy? So this is not normal, I don't think, although I'm sure there are others of you out there who sometimes have things like this happen. But I get into a very, very fragile, scary place, the dentist. Now, the root canal, I knew he would just do the things he always does, and he's wonderful at. First thing he does, he just puts a gum all over the area he's going to freeze. So there's a numb gum that just suddenly you don't even feel the needle. And then he puts his needles in. And he wiggles and pulls my face and the muscles and so that I don't even feel the needle, because he knows how to do it just right. And then there's only one needle that gives just a little prick. And he said, sorry, but that's right in the bone. I can't wiggle that. And I give thanks. It's over. And he has a calming voice and everything is fine. And then they put this block in my mouth to keep my mouth open. And immediately I gag. Immediately. And the breath starts coming harder and harder. And they get it out. I'm going to die. Get it out. And I have a meltdown. I have a complete meltdown. And I'm crying. And you know I don't cry often. I mean, I talked about when I saw my therapist, I would be crying if ever we reached a certain point and I exposed too many other old nerves. And I would just be a puddle on the floor in tears. And that's what started to happen to me. The tears are coming down and I was embarrassed. And there was two women in with him, his two assistants, who I didn't feel comfortable with. I didn't mind crying in front of Dr. Comandre, but I didn't feel their care and compassion. I was just embarrassed, but at the same time, can't do that to me. We can't go. I was telling him, I don't think we can do this. I mean, I'm all frozen, but I'm telling him, I don't think it's possible. I don't think we can do this. Well, it turned out the worst part was that block in my mouth. And he said, well, you know, we don't need that as long as you can keep your mouth open. And I'm thinking, well, Jesus, of course I can keep my mouth open. Why was that even there? Now, he went on to do the surgery, whatever it is, and he got me to a complex. The thing is, things came to a full halt. Like, they had to put a pulse on my finger to measure my blood pressure, how fast my heart was beating. Like, they were just as frightened as I was. Like, well, this guy's not doing well. And I did manage to say the words, gagged as it was, I thought I was going to die. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be funny, but that's what I was saying. And I really did have just a complete freak-out breakdown, like, this is the end, no, we're stopping here. And it wasn't over the surgery. This is the odd thing. This was my place to finally let go and cry. And I was trying to explain it. It's not the surgery. It's me. It's time for me to cry. I couldn't get that out to them. The doctor did the most amazing, amazing job of calming me. And he, we'd talk about books, which he and I share all the time. And he told me the story, which he had done once before, of the red tent. in the red tent is the tent where they bring in all the women who are the, what do you call, the concubines for some shah or ruler or emir or whoever. And there are several women there. And after a time of all the women being together in the red tent and doing everything together and eating together, all their periods synchronize. So they are all having their periods at exactly the same time. You've seen this video with metronomes set at different times, and eventually they all hit the same motion exactly. It's a natural force. And he was telling this because he said, you see, the shock you're in now, or the fear you have, I could catch that fear, and we'd both have the fear, and I'd be feeling what you're feeling, you'd be feeling what my feeling, but what we want to do is I want you to feel my calm. And he was calm as he talked. I mean, first of all, he knew what he was doing. He was able to talk to me while he's going and doing all these other things. And it made me smile. And I said, I know, thank you, thank you. And in the end, it was over. I still, today, I haven't even felt anything from where that tooth was. And yeah, I've taken a couple of pills, but that's, he just does such good work. But I had this overpowering sense. The assistant said I fell asleep during the time, and I may have. I was so relaxed. But they said, or I felt so overpoweringly strong, I just wanted to get up and hug him. And I wanted to hug him for compassion, because he was, it was so deeply and so clearly and so wonderfully a case of one human who happened to be my dentist, wanted to help another human who happened to be living in fear and the depths of anxiety. And that just made me feel good, just the act of goodness. And unfortunately, he left before. And I did not want to hug anybody else in that room at all. I'd had a little run-in with him beforehand over filling out forms. But I did mention him over the phone to somebody else to let him know that it was his compassion that saved me. And I was terribly and deeply moved by it, and it was a wonderful thing. But anyway, after that, they gave me one little mild sedative too, which never does too much to you, but it certainly mellowed me out over time. But that night when I came home, finished the dentist, and I was home by, I don't know, two or so, and when my wife got home, she noticed I was just a little wonky, a little wobbly, and thought, that's not right. And the next morning, I had to get up early and drive my son to school. And when I was driving him to school, something happened to me that's never happened before. My vision was not cloudy. My vision was clear, except I was seeing everything double. Like, clearly, double lines. Like, if there was a merge lane, there were two merge lanes. If there was a car coming towards me, there are two side by side, or two, one just right behind the other one. All the lines I was trying to follow kept changing. It was clearly a case of double vision like I have never had before. Nothing else, like I wasn't hallucinating on my dashboard, just everything I was looked at in front of me. And my son's, Dad, you're not driving. Dad, you're going over the lines. You know, you're not driving well. And on several occasions, I braked much too late. And both times coming home, because I went out for something else, we have a very easy wide turn into our driveway. And I park on the right side, my wife on the left. The garbage cans are far, far, far to the left. I made my turn straight into the garbage cans. Like, I've never done that. It's almost impossible to miss a turn or to turn that wide. My turning was completely off by like a full laneway, bam, into the garbage can. Whoa, that's odd. Back up, start again. So all of this is to say that my wife said, you've got to go that afternoon. You've got to go to the hospital. And that was yesterday. You just go, and oh, shit. So I phoned my own doctor and gave a couple of symptoms. They said, no, go straight to emergency right now. So I went to emergency right now, and as always, there's a huge lineup, which is never fun, you know that. But I knew on my wife's orders, this made a lot of sense, and I have in my hand now a form to go and see the Scarborough Stroke Clinic. So boys and girls, and God, I hope my voice does not get permanently damaged, because you would not want to listen to that. It seems I might have had a mild or a mini stroke. And that's for real. That's real stuff. That's not good stuff, you know. But I'm taking it. Wow. Hey, I feel fine now. So I think I got off lucky. And I think it was good that I went in. And, of course, they went in and they gave me the heart rate and everything else. My heart was right back to normal. Pulse, fine. They tested me on the walking. Yeah, not so good. The double vision was gone. Hearing was fine. Face didn't drop on one side. My face was fine. My muscles in my hands, equal pressure. So everything else was fine. Gave me the EGG, and that seemed okay, you know, for the heart. Or is it ECG? I can't remember. And then a CT scan. And although I didn't get the results, it seemed those are probably okay, but enough that I've got to go and speak to somebody. I've got to go and see somebody. So I'm waiting for the phone call now to go and make an appointment. Under the list of strokes, weakness and numbness, tingling in the legs, arms. Well, I certainly had trouble with them. Trouble speaking, not really to me, but maybe to others. Vision problems, double vision, had that. Dizziness, now the loss of balance was definitely there, like ready to tip over. And a headache, and of course I got a headache, which I seldom ever get. So I had some of the signs, that's it, but yours truly, God, it's getting cold, so I'm walking back to the car, and I'm not going to fall on the walk back, so don't panic. But I thought, gosh, given what I've said in episode 500, it wouldn't be bad just to put this in back in perspective, maybe, I don't know, this 499E, 22 minutes now. To tell you what's going on. I don't think I'm going to drag out this podcast, but it will be a spacer before I put episode 500 out next week. Again, this was not planned or staged or April Fools. It's probably, for me, on top of everything else, a good reminder to take care. It does seem odd that within a week of joining a community center to get physical exercise, following through on seeing a physiotherapist about my thumb, which is not quite back to normal, while there booking appointments with a chiropractor to help straighten out my back, and all these things, that on top of all that, I'd say, hey, mister, we've got to deal with this possible stroke here. I've got a TIA rapid referral. So I've got to be clear that there's not a phone call waiting for me now. Instruct patient to bring a medical list and OHIP card to appointment. Of course, please fax eMERGE report with ECG, CT report, blood work results in this form. Well, they didn't send me for any blood work results, but I've had them done recently, I think. Well, I could probably go do that, too. If I don't hear from them, I could go do that anytime, because I've already got the forms. Anyway, that's an update. The state of my health. Others, and I hope nobody else out there gets, oh, my God, the dude is going to fucking die. He's going to have a heart attack. Fuck, we better be nice to him. Because that's not in the least. I feel this has just added more years onto my life. The fact that we always talk about wake-up calls. Isn't that I'm suddenly going to give up weed or beer or change my diet all that much. But I am going to start, you know, doing the things necessary to look after my body a little more. And pay attention, because I don't want to. My wife looked at my room and said, you know, if you die, I'm going to have to get in some guy to come in and shovel everything out of your office and just throw it away. And that scares me more than anything. Oh, my God, no.
So I do have a lot to do. I do have to start taking care of business. Oh, yeah. So, Dixon J's listeners, I guess this will be a half. Maybe I'll feel up to doing, you know, I hate to release just a half an episode, 24 minutes. So why don't I put a song in here and maybe tomorrow, or if I get my next bit of news, I'll fill you in. But please, this is not sent for anybody in the least to be thinking they should be worried about me. This is quite the opposite. This is a sign good. The dude's getting some medical care and attention. It's about time. Yours truly. Back to the Scarborough dude. Ken's not here yet. He's waiting for you in episode 500. But you can't have that until I put it up there. Bye for now. Did you really want to hear the geese?
Come on.
Okay, geese. We didn't have any geese because there was... Oh, we're on low filter thing anyway. Here, let's put it on high. Yeah, I can hear my coat. Look at the window. Where's the door? There we go. It must be on the roof of the car. Aren't they noisy, eh?
Supposedly hating. West Coast waiting, from Andy and Vietnam fighting.
Well, good morning. It's Sunday, the 29th of March, 2015, and I'm sitting in a library parking lot very close to the church I'm about to go to, and I thought I'd give you a before and after. This is the before. I go into church, and then I think I'll find another nice quiet spot and give you an after. Put on my brand new slacks today, first time I've ever worn them. I thought, yeah, that's fitting. Wear those to church. Kind of a dark blue in my bright pink shirt to show I'm okay with all things gay and, you know, hey, this is me. I went to church last Sunday. Now, I'm feeling a little strange doing this because it is out of sequence. Like I said, I've already recorded episode 500 of Dixon Janes, and I'm very happy. I did it. I've parked it. I've finished it. That's it. It's like a cap of just a screwing onto the top of it. And then when this incident happened at the dentist office, and me having to go to emergency or, you know, have my wife's insistence, which was a good thing, I thought, well, if it wasn't for the fact that I was so close to 500, I absolutely would have told you all about that stuff. So here I am telling you all about that stuff. I want to clear something up. I will not say, gee, I had a stroke. No, no, no. And I'm afraid this is what friends out west jump to these, you know, maybe these conclusions. Oh, my God, is Ken okay? I'm fine. I'm better than ever. I had a couple of strange symptoms after this breakdown I had in the dentist office. I really don't know why, but I think it had nothing to do with the root canal, even though everybody would say, well, of course it did. That's why you were there. Yeah, but it wasn't my fear or my anxiety, because I have so much faith in this wonderful dentist. It was it was just a buildup. It was a tense situation, and on top of that, there's a block that's stuck in your mouth and you can't breathe. And prior to that, you're just reading about every atrocity that has not only been conducted by ISIS and other like-minded groups, Boko Haram and others, but have been filmed and put out there for people to watch. And it was a dumb thing to do, you know, moments before going into the dentist, given that every time I'm in the dentist chair, as I've said so many times, I get into a very dark place of torture and helplessness. So I think that just set things in motion. And there was just a number of repercussions. And the good thing is, gee, I went and I sat there and got bored as hell in the waiting room with so many people. Oh, my God, how does this system ever keep up? I have no idea. But anyway, I will get a call and I will go and see somebody at the Stroke Institute in Scarborough. And basically, the way I'm taking that is this has just been a wonderful little warning shot across the bow of, hey, 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 look after yourself, man. You want to keep around here. But more than that, it's coming out of this low point I hit this winter, which I've talked about on, you know, the probably A, B, C, D, and now E of 499. And before that, talking about the depression and so on, and feeling, man, I'm just almost like giving up. Oh, man, my future, it's fixed. I don't know. There's nothing, almost nothing great to look forward to. It's just downhill from here. And wow, I'm so glad that that's been lifted off of me somehow. I've exorcised it. It's gone. And all the positive things that are happening, joining this Variety Village, having gone and seen the Gestalt therapist, having, you know, I know I'm repeating myself here, and partly, forgive me, but I'm talking to myself. I'm trying to remind myself where I was and where I'm at now, with a lot of hope and a lot of positiveness, including this weird thing of going to church second Sunday in a row. And just little things. There were two eggs left I'd been really looking forward to. You know, when I woke up this morning, good, I'm going to go downstairs and have bacon and eggs. Well, only a few slices of bacon left and only two eggs. Well, I left half the bacon for my son, who I know loves it, and I left the other egg for my wife or my son. I normally, well, who's to say, but I would have taken it all and nobody would have known the difference. I would have taken the garbage out and put it, hidden it, and nobody would have seen the empty wrappers, the empty egg carton, and that was that. But I didn't. I thought of the others, and I hope that's a change. I am excited about this, the opportunity I will have sometime after Easter to talk to the pastor of this particular church and kind of figure out, is this just curiosity, or do I actually want to become involved? I really don't know. But I do find it interesting that, hey, it's just one more option, one more thing in my life. So there are just so many things and so many ripples and repercussions and things that you can wake up to. So I guess my message is, don't ever get stuck. Unstick yourself. That's it. That's the message. Unstick yourself. Hope I can remember that for a title. Unstick yourself. Because that's how I'm feeling. That, hey, don't think it. You're pinned down in this rut and things are going to be like this and there's no escape. There are options. There are options. There are things you can do. There are new ways of looking at things. There are changes you can make. There's just all kinds of stuff. So just be okay. All right? Anyway, I'm rambling now. There was a message, more of a message that I wanted to say. Unstick yourself. No. And it was spell corrected for me. Thank you. A connection to the listeners of the Dixon James podcast. I remember way back in the early days listening to the Catfish Show. The Catfish Show. Sorry, lost it there. As part of the days, you know, same time listening to the Bob and AJ show. Well, Kat's got her podcast out, and she used to say, I have the best listeners in the world. I think there was Trucker Bob and who else, you know, was out there, I don't know. And I remember being a little envious. Oh, lucky you. How did you get all those great listeners? And it took me a long time to realize, no, you make your listenership and you believe in your listenership and you support your listenership and you feel good about your listenership. And I don't think I say that often enough on this podcast, that I really, truly, truly, truly am so grateful. I'm not going to go and rhyme off a list of names, but anybody who has ever commented to me, sent in a comment, posted a remark, God, getting my words really messed up today. I hope that's not another sign. I truly am grateful. And even those of you who haven't or don't on a regular basis, but I know are out there listening, thank you, thank you, thank you. It really has given me, oh, the motivation, the to just keep going and give me a sense of satisfaction. You're listening, actual listening to what it is I babble on about week after week, all this time, 10 years. I'm very, very grateful. So I don't know any other way to say it other than thank you, thank you, thank you. It meant a lot to me. It has meant a lot to me. It still means a lot to me. And I really appreciate it. It's done a lot for me. So I think I'm going to end there on this little note here in the parking lot and drive on over to the church and get in there and shake hands and find my seat in the back, and I'm going to stay for coffee and dessert or cookies or whatever they serve and chat to new people and hopefully chat again with the pastor's husband, who I found a very interesting character, the chief musician of the church. I will, I guess, for episode 500, maybe put up a link. Stay tuned, by the way, because I'm getting very, very close to starting my new podcast of the artifacts, all the things in my basement bar. I've been running through the items mentally and having fun with it. Thinking, oh, yeah, the hash knife. Oh, yeah, there's a story. And all these different things I can picture. And, you know, believe me, there's 100 episodes there. when you look around that bar. And it might even include a few books, too. So, all right. Scarborough Dude, yours truly. Signing off for now. Yes, I'm off to church. Bye for now.
This is 1968, dearies, not 1948.
1968!
What have you got?
1968.
May I ask?
What the hell you got, 1968? That makes you so damn superior.
That gives me such a headache.
Well, if you really want to know, 1948, I got life, mother. I got laughs, sister. I got freedom, brother. I got good times, man. I got crazy ways, daughter. I got million-dollar charm, cousin. I got headaches and toothaches and bad times too, like you. I got my hair, I got my head, I got my brains, I got my ears, I got my eyes, I got my nose, I got my mouth, I got my teeth, I got my tongue, I got my chin, I got my neck, I got my tits, I got my heart, I got my soul, I got my back, I got my ass, I got my arms, I got my legs, I got my fingers, got my legs, got my feet, I got my toes, I got my liver, got my blood, I got life, mother. I got laughs, sister. I got freedom, brother. I got good times, man. I got crazy ways, daughter. I got million-dollar charm, cousin. I got headaches, toothaches, bad times, too, like you. Got my feet, got my toes, got my liver, got my blood, got my guts, got my muscles. I got life, 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 life.
And you got a lot of nerve, baby.
And I'm gonna spread it around the world, brother. And I'm gonna spread it round the world, sister. And I'm gonna spread it around the world, mother. So everybody knows what I got.
Is it rolling, Bob? And she's rolling. Rolling for the last time. This is the end of this. After this, I'm just putting out number 500. I'm done. Say goodbye to the Scarborough Dude. Hello, Ken. I'm back in Bluffers Park. It's now, my gosh, 1 o'clock. Church started at 10:30, went on till 12:30, and it was a very good service. This is the Sunday before Easter. There was not one mention in the entire two-hour service. There was not one mention of the word Jesus or the word God. And I think that's pretty amazing. I've got to tell you, I've probably told you more on episode 500. I don't remember. That's the one that's already recorded and going to be released right after this. Oops. I'm so impressed with this church. I'm with the pastor. And I've met some very, very nice people in the congregation. It just seems strange for me to be saying this. Like, what? What are you doing in church? Where'd that come from? And, well, there I am. And it's funny because, you know, I'm always talking and half-joking about, oh, you know, some ashram in India where you go and you get your wisdom. And, of course, I've always known that's not the way it works. You go to India and you get sick. But there are answers here. And I was just so impressed with the service. Definitely the leadership of Greta. Greta Vosper is her name. And her husband, the music director, Scott Cairns, is also a beautiful soloist. Babette Oliveira, I guess. She sang a couple of solos. There was a choir. They only did one song. The quote of the week is, "When the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace." And that's by Jimi Hendrix. Now, I think it's pretty cool to go into a church, and your quote of the week is by Jimi Hendrix. I just can't say enough about it, and how well it's done, and how modern. And the thing is, so many of us have sort of reached this place. We've sort of traveled along this road from agnostic to atheist, or Greta prefers to call herself, I guess, a non-theist. I think that's a good term. And yet, to be able to go beyond that and go back into a church and feel something very special, a sharing. There was it was an amazingly well-crafted, well-organized service of, you know, you're given ribbons when you come in and markers, and there'd be readings on ideas about truth and beauty and justice and all these terms. And then four people were up at the front, and they'd come out and they'd each read a little bit about that. And then they'd ask you to reflect. Okay, what would the world be like if it was full of justice? What's a word that comes to mind to describe the world? And you'd write that word on your ribbon. And then I promised I wasn't going to tell you about the service. All right, this is just one little part. And then at a certain time in the service, everybody walked to the front and laid the ribbons on this table. And a candle had been lit for each of the eight points: the justice, the beauty, the I can't even remember what else was there. And then they had their break, and we had coffee right in the middle. In the middle of the church, you grab your coffee and your cookie, and you just talk and mingle, and that's always nice. And then Greta called everybody, "All right, party's over." And then did readings of how each of those things we sort of wished for and thought about and wrote about, the kind of world we would like, isn't here. There isn't justice. We are squandering the beauty and all the things that we're doing that are harming, are getting in the way of beauty. And with each of that, they would put out one of the candles that had been lit for each of those beautiful ideas. And then take the streamers. Everybody had these beautiful little colored ribbons. You just picked one with all your wonderful words of what would the world be like. Oh, it'd be full of forgiveness and beauty and truth and justice. And took them and threw them on the floor like, "Sorry, we don't have it." It was a very neat way to do it, to bring you back to reality. Oh, yeah. So I am so glad that some stranger phoned me and said, "Would you like a free subscription to the Toronto Star?" And I got my free subscription, and I just happened to read the one interview 2-3 weeks ago where somebody wanting to have a little bit of controversy talked about this West Hill United Church where the minister is an atheist. And I thought, well, that sounds pretty interesting. And here I am, second week in a row, and believe me, I will be back, and I don't see any reason to leave. In fact, my job now is to get up. I think of some of the people who listen to this podcast, or who don't listen, friends I have, who would probably really enjoy a service like this. The pianist is fantastic. I mean, he composes all his own work. Not only that, he's a social worker, and on top of that, he's studying for his PhD. And so these are smart people and people with integrity. The quotes were coming, you know, as Greta was doing the readings. I mean, they were coming from people like Naomi Klein and Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young and other people. And it's not hippy dippy lubby dubby. This is very real stuff, very political, very stuff I can get behind. So I don't want to go on too much about it. Other than to say, Yeah, I'll give you one little example. Last week I went and I looked around and thought, whoa, what am I? You know, everybody's got white hair, everybody's old, everybody looks like the kind of people you'd see in church, not surprisingly. And yet, you know, as I talk to people, and there's a meet and greet in the beginning and before the, you know, as part of the service, just walk around and shake hands and or hug if you feel so inclined. It's a little awkward for me being so tall, but there's one particular woman who, of course, she'll never listen to this, so I'm safe to say it, but just a little odd-looking, maybe? I don't know. Very small, just kind of strange, and I saw her last week, and okay, and I was beside her. Oh, my, I shudder at somebody listening and misinterpreting this, but all I wanted to say was this week I saw her beauty, and I really liked her, and it was like when we were writing our words on our ribbons, well, we all had these felt markers, and everybody's words just blurred into the... It didn't work, right? You couldn't read. They bled. The felt markers bled into the beautiful colored streamers. And so you couldn't make out anything. And she sort of looked at me and said, can you read that? And I said, no, I can't. And I can't even read mine. And there was a moment when suddenly this... old lady, she's quite elderly, was just like the little girl in kindergarten. Just this little child doing something with crayons and paper and doing something the teacher asked us to do and we made a mistake or something didn't go right. And it was that kind of a feeling, and it was a wonderful, beautiful feeling. And I just felt a special bond with this person. And I think... what I need in my life is communion. And by communion, I don't mean the traditional going up and sipping the wine and eating the wafer, which I've never done anyway in my life. I've never been confirmed in a church. I've never taken part in communion. And I don't, as a rule, go to church. In fact, I haven't for 50-odd years, other than funerals, weddings, and the odd time I'll go into a church, maybe a little high, just to admire the beautiful stained glass. But this is church. To go as part of a group and think about what will it take to make this a better world. And it's like I've almost come, I guess I can't say full circle, but I've gone past the atheist, past the fed up with those damn American right-wing Christian fanatics, you know. It's so easy to get to that point and reject all churches and all beliefs and all people, but here, right in Scarborough, right in my backyard, is the most forward-looking, advanced, wonderful church I have ever, ever come across. If I had to imagine and draw up and dream of a church and the kind of service and the beliefs I'd want it to espouse, this is it right on the nose. It's honestly, it's stunning. It's so wonderful. So I'm going to leave it there because I know some of you will wonder what the hell is that about or doubt my words. Well, I just say, hey, contact me, DixonJanes@gmail.com, or, you know, if you know me closer than that, phone me, text me, do whatever you want. And say, Ken, when are you going to that church again? It sounds interesting. I might like to join you. I bring out, there's something, I don't know. There was a thing about love. It's called the focused moment, and they always have a little prayer, and somebody reads. And, of course, I made a point of going up to the person who read it today and telling him what a beautiful job he did read. Can I read it? Will you forgive me if I do this? And I know it sounds corny. If you don't like this, that's fine. That's okay. You can fast forward. You can skip. You can do whatever you want to do. But this is, believe me, these will be my last words for quite a while because... I've already recorded episode 500, and I'm not doing another of these. I'm very keen to get started on the Basement Bar series of podcasts. I'm looking forward to that. So stay tuned. You'll hear about it somehow. I don't know when I'll ever get around to... I think I need one more recording with one more creative person to kickstart that other series I want to talk about sort of mind and personality and creativity. There are four shows already recorded, but I need one more to just sort of give me that extra push, and that may take a while. All right, the reading this week, which you were all handed focused moment, and I guess that's just the title for, we get one of these every week. When love touches us, we are swept beyond whatever plans we had, beyond the careful expectations we set out, beyond the possibilities we had carefully assessed. Love is only ever unscheduled, impractical, challenging, and costly. It unsettles us, makes us see the world differently, and understand our relationships differently, sometimes even in the light that does not flatter us. It holds our hearts in an iron grip, causes words to catch in our throats and tears to flow, unbidden, down our cheeks. We are smitten with the beauty of life, tumbled into new tomorrows, filled with the memories of days past that didn't even happen, all as a result of a power we can neither harness nor rule. I think that's pretty special. I'm holding in my hand a book, one last thought. Sam Harris, The Moral Landscape, How Science Can Determine Human Values. And this is from the library at that church, which you simply pick a book up and sign out for it and take it home and read it. So I'll be doing that, but unfortunately I won't be sharing it with you. So Dixon Jeans, thank you, thank you, thank you. Seriously, this is the only time I feel I can thank you for this, for being with me for this whole long, wonderful journey. And it may sound like I'm overstating things, but no, man, give me that much. Hey, it has been 10 years of podcasting, of doing that, and I'm not talking about that as a bragging point of view. I'm talking about it to thank you for actually listening and being with me and sharing in my world. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and may you find peace and comfort and joy and beauty and love and all those other wonderful things that you all want. And sometimes we just don't know how to go about getting them. Ooh, yeah. Scarborough Dude, signing out.